doctor, you can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Telephone number to be on the show when you hear somebody hang up, is 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by the Organic Club of America. Many benefits include seminars, answers on a priority basis, special offers, seeds from my garden when available, and things like that. I think you'll enjoy being a part of the Organic Club of America. For information on how it works, just click on that green round button on the left-hand side of the homepage, dirtdoctor.com. This is the membership part of the website. The website's got a tremendous amount of information, very deep. This is just kind of an additional thing for the members. And we were talking with Rick in Lewis, Delaware, and sounds like he's getting started with a water garden. Is this a new one or just one that you wanted to chat about a little bit?
No, Howard. No, I've had these water ponds for 30 years.
Oh, right.
This is an established pond. And as I said, I'm sort of a new listener. We're having our coffee, and I'm listening to the program, and I was so interested. And I'm looking at my pond, and two things popped up. You spoke about roses,
mm-hmm.
and and organic treatment of pests and diseases and so forth in general. So I'm looking at my pond, and right in front of me is a rose bush full of Japanese beetles. That, of course, I have a can of something or other. I know it's certainly not organic, but it kills them immediately. So my first question was, is there anything organic that would kill a beetle quickly? Because most of the stuff that you buy, whether they're toxic sprays, they require the plant to eat the leaves before he gets the poison. So that was one question. Is there anything that you're aware of? And then just in general, the second one, I'm looking at my water lilies are full of pinholes. There's obviously something that's eating the water lily leaves. And I said, gee, obviously you can't spray that. You know, I don't know what causes it. And I thought, well, I wonder if there's anything organic, which is why it prompted me to call in.
Well, great. I'm glad you did. I've got, I'm a fairly new water garden guy and have a water feature that's got four levels in it. And we've got some really big koi and we've got some kind of medium-sized goldfish. And we've got two turtles. My wife tends to pick up turtles as she sees crossing the street. And we have them in the backyard for a while. They lay eggs and then we end up having babies in the water feature, which has been great. We've got two that are kind of pets now that have stayed around for this is second season. But
are they able to crawl out of your pond? I'm told that that's the best thing because they sometimes leave and they reappear.
Right. Yeah, they can get out of our pond for sure. And we've had some vanish and not come back. And we've had some vanish for a few days and then they'll show up again. So it's been kind of fun. And they get tame. They look forward to being fed with the fish at the end of the day. And we really have enjoyed all that. But, yeah, there are tools that we have, not only that are non-toxic, but work quite well. The Japanese beetle is one kind of beetle that we have occasionally down here, but not as often as you do.
Yes.
The products that you should look into are spinosad products, for one. That's a killing organic spray. It actually will kill them.
And was that spinosad?
Spinosad or spinosad. It's S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D. Now, that's the active ingredient. That's not the name of the product.
I see.
The name of the product will vary. It'll be some kind of biological name. One we have here with a silly name that's probably pretty effective is Captain Jack's Dead Bug Spray. It's a it's a spinosad product. And it's a biological product, and it works. It kills. It doesn't repel and work real slowly. It kills. Its negative, Rick, is that it will not kill but negatively affect honeybees if they get hit by it or it gets on them. So you use it surgically. You use it right on the plant that has the beetles, and it kills them. You don't spray it all over the place.
Right. That's what we do now with the instant killer because I'm trying not to spray as much as I normally do, and with the Barrosas in particular, the only thing that we really have a problem with are the Japanese beetles. And I've learned that, of course, they come out of the ground as a grub. And, you know, so.
Well, that was my next suggestion to you. One of the things that we recommend to all of the gardeners is in the beginning of the year, when plants start to leaf out and the ground temperatures are rising and everything, we recommend that everybody put out beneficial nematodes in the soil. They're very inexpensive. They're easy to put out. And they not only will control the grubs that become the Japanese beetle and other beetles, but also will control termites and various other insect pests that have one of their life cycles in the ground, and most of them do.
Sure.
So beneficial nematodes you can buy mail order if they're not available in your local garden centers or retail stores, and very, very cost-effective and helpful in controlling pests. The other thing, do you deal with algae, string algae, and various algaes in your ponds?
No, not at all. I have no problem with that. I have a really great ecosystem here. And,
okay, cool.
I have a product which was, it's an electronic product that actually, I want to say that it introduces somehow some kind of a, I can't remember, Howard. It plugs into the current, and it reduces or introduces, I think, a molecule of mercury. Or no, there are two copper. No, there's two.
Oh, it's
copper
probably
animals.
a copper electrode.
A copper.
Yeah.
And I've only used it. Gosh, I've had it for a few years. I haven't used it in a couple of years. I did have a problem several years ago, and I used it sparingly, like they instruct. You know, you start at the lowest rate, then you measure and you maintain your water with the copper content at a certain point. And when it was gone, now I seem to have that. I don't have that issue at all with the proper amount of surface plants and plants that withdraw the toxins out of the water and so forth. You know, I don't have that.
A biological system now. That's the best way to go. Well, if you have some problems, we've got other tools. You can call from time to time if you have anything pop up. We have come up with some pretty simple solutions so that there's no toxins that are really needed. The pinholes in the water lilies, and that's why I was thinking about that a little bit. One of the things I'll use for string algae here, and here in our area, we have that pop up pretty bad when the weather is changing. And what we found that works well is hydrogen peroxide right out of the grocery store.
Wow.
You can buy it concentrated also and then dilute it. But we've got one thing you may want to look at on our website. In the library, we've got a past newsletter that we did on the different mixing rates of hydrogen peroxide, and the one to use for algae and string algae is covered in that list. So if it ever pops up for you, it might help. On the other hand, it might actually help with the insects that are hurting your plants as well. I wouldn't want to put any of the organic pesticides in the water. You've already figured that out. But the hydrogen peroxide might function as a repellent, if nothing else, and help you with that issue. It'd be interesting for you to try it and see.
I would try it. Do you think, just off the top of your mind, do you think that it would harm the beneficial algae in the pond, not the string algae? I don't have string algae, but of course with any pond you have the algae that the fish eat off of, you know?
Right.
And I'm thinking out loud and saying, gee, I wonder if the hydrogen peroxide would harm that.
If you used it over and over and over and over, yes, it would.
Okay, I see.
If you use it once to solve a problem or occasionally like I do, the life in the pond stays really healthy and the water crystal clear.
Appreciate talking with you, and I found your website, which is I'm going like holy mackerel, and so I looked up roses during the break, and I'm looking. There are compounds and chemicals. I said I've never heard of. I said I don't even know where to. I said I wonder if anybody sells them locally, or do you have to buy everything? As a new person thinking about going organic, do you have to buy everything online, or are there actually stores out there or landscape shops that actually sell organic types of?
Well, in Texas, we have a lot of people that sell organic because we've got three guys on the radio here, me here, and then a friend of mine in San Antonio and in Austin talking about it, and so a lot of stores do. But online is a good place to start. Tell your local retailers that we can help them and line them up with distributors and get the products, too.
I'll do that.
Yeah, let them know. I'm going to have to run, but let me know, and we'll be glad to help try to get some people set up in your area.
That would be super. Okay. All right, listen, nice to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. And wherever you are in the country, if you want to have some help getting organic products in your retailer, we help with that from time to time. We just give them some tips on who to contact and how to do it. Be glad to do it. info@dirtdoctor.com is the email address. Back in a minute. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite. And they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito dunks and mosquito bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulture expert. For great results, whether vegetables, lawns, trees, shrubs, or flowers, I recommend Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Its slow-release, goof-proof formula provides consistent feeding and is safe for children and pets. So whether you're a seasoned or novice gardener, trust the fertilizer that's been proven effective for over 85 years. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Anywhere you want good things to grow. Milorganite for better results naturally.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner. Or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth. Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth. Vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth. Animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth. Animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth. Children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth. Children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and it's Lane's turn in Grayford, Texas. Hi, Lane.
Hey, Howard. How are you this morning?
Doing good, thanks.
Good. We, just in the last couple of days, have had a line of ants going from a spot in the ceiling down to a spot in the floor. I don't see anywhere where they are getting food. It's in our laundry room, which is where we keep our dog food and cat food. They aren't going anywhere near that. They're just going from a spot in the ceiling to a spot in the floor. I tried spraying the March line with an orange oil mixture, which did kill the ones that were there. Of course, it doesn't kill the ones that are either up or down. Went onto your website, and you suggest using a mild borax solution or borate solution so that they bring it back to the nest. With that, unfortunately, the area that they're in, my dogs have easy access to, and I don't want them getting a hold of that either. Just wondering if you have any suggestions. I don't see a spot where even I could put, like, the store-bought bait, little round things, because it looks like they're going behind the baseboard and in the ceiling. It's just a small spot that I can't even see where they're getting in, but they're very, very tiny black ants.
Yeah. The pest control companies that use some natural techniques will use baits that work really well if you ever want to go that route. And they're non-toxic. They're borate-based baits, and they use some other kinds of things too. But I tell you something I did the other day that was – it's been talked about, and we've kicked it around on the show. We might have even done a newsletter on it in the past. What are the blue packets of the synthetic sugar in the restaurants?
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
I'm drawing a blank on the name of it.
Equal.
Yeah, the ones that come in the blue packets, you can open those. This is kind of a sad commentary for people that use that stuff, but you can open those packets and just kind of dust it out. I had some ants going across, and like you're saying, in a caravan kind of a affair on my driveway. And they weren't fire ants again. They were little black ants or one of the others that have shown up with all the rain and everything. And I thought, you know, I think I'll try the blue packets again. I had tried them in one other area, and it seemed to work, but fairly slowly. Well, in this driveway situation, they disappeared the next day.
Really?
Yeah, and so you might give that a try. I mean, they're available in every restaurant out there. You don't have to buy any.
Sure.
And give that a shot. The next way to go, which is what I've done in some cases, is have the pest control companies, EcoSafe here in Dallas is who I work with, but they use these non-toxic baits, and it doesn't matter whether it's acrobat ants or odorous ants or little black ants or what kind they are. These things work extremely well. The other thing that you ought to just make a note of that's kind of fun and repels very well is red pepper, black pepper, and cinnamon. Cinnamon's very effective.
Okay.
And the herb called tansy, which is a pretty cool plant to grow anyway. It looks like a fern, real fern-like, soft, delicate leaves, but it's a tough plant. And it has yellow flowers kind of late in the season. It does have a little bit of allelopathy, or at least some amount of negativity to other perennials that it grows around. It tends to be kind of pushy and almost discourage them and can take over. So you have to be a little careful with it, or grow it in pots or something like that.
Okay. And then would I go ahead and put fresh tansy down?
No, what you do is you harvest the leaf, and you you can let it dry out and then crunch it up and put it out dry, powder-like, or you can chop it up green into small pieces and just put out the green tansy. And ants do not like it at all. They stay away from it. You know what else works in that regard? Is mistletoe. Mistletoe
really
works the same way.
Well, we've got plenty of that. I can pull some of that away.
Yeah, give that a try.
And would I dry that as well versus the fresh?
I've done it both ways, and it seems to work pretty well, even on fire ants.
Okay. That I'll try every one of these until I can get something to get rid of those. I also have a suggestion for wasp stings.
Okay.
That I got stung very hard by a wasp Thursday afternoon. Felt like a lit cigarette shoved into my thigh.
Wow.
And I've had this happen before. Every year I get stung, and normally I swell, especially with gravity on my legs or my stomach. It'll swell about a foot down from the sting and double the size, where I look like I've got one leg that's an elephant leg versus the other one.
Yeah.
I used this. It's a product called Pascalite. It's a clay, and it says it's a non-swelling clay powder.
Pascalite.
Pascalite. It's out of Wyoming.
Okay.
So I think they said they're family-owned business, but it's got drying power, and I made this into a paste. I did it real thick at first, which was annoying because it was hard to walk around, especially on my leg. Went ahead and made it a thinner paste, put it on that sting and all the way down where you could see where the red had started swelling from the poison, and I think I left it on for about 4 hours, and next day, nothing.
Well, that's great. It's Pascalite. Is it P-A-S?
Yes, sir. It's P-A-S-C-A-L-I-T-E.
Gosh, I spelled it right. That's amazing.
Hey, how about that?
Okay, Pascalite clay. A good tip.
Sir.
Was this a red wasp or one of the paper wasps?
You know, I'm not sure, because I was bending over, filling up some water jugs.
Snuck up on you, huh? That's not good.
It sure did. And my husband got stung with stinging nettle yesterday. I had him put some of that on there. Totally gone instead of having the welts for several days.
Oh, great. Well, great tip, Elaine. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Howard, and appreciate your help on the ants.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back. I haven't mentioned anything about it today, but those of you that heard me talking about the golf tournament last weekend, if you're into golf at all, you don't have to be into golf. Be into that one last weekend, the Open Championship in Scotland. Jordan Spieth, our young Dallasite, came as close as you can get to some big time history. One shot from being in the playoff, but he did great, as he always does. So we'll see plenty more out of him, but he missed setting some history standards by just one shot last week. It was a great tournament to watch. Hope some of you got to enjoy it. Dave in Fort Worth is next up. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Howard. I've been following your advice for 9 years. The yard looks great, and I'm moving to a place that has St. Augustine that's been chemically treated for years. And okay. I know to use molasses and green sand and lava sand and compost and Garrot juice, but I don't know if it matters in what order or maybe what season to apply those things, or if there's something else besides those I mentioned.
No, the order really doesn't make any difference, Dave. In fact, you can put them out all at the same time, or you can do one, then the other, then another, as the budget allows and your time allows. It's there's no real urgent timing requirements about the organic amendments at all.
All right.
So just as time allows, or you can do them all at one time and get it done.
And then I've never had St. Augustine grass before, and I'm going to, you know, mulch it. I'm not going to bag it, of course. But I don't know how high to cut it or how low to cut it.
Well, the St. Augustine grass tends to like a little higher cut. I'd say at least 2.5 inches, and probably 3 to 3.5 inches would be better than what a lot of people do.
Okay. All right. I guess that's it, Howard. Thank you.
Good luck with the new digs there, and the transition will be pretty easy. Just take it a step at a time.
I'll call you if I have any trouble.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Let's talk to Mike, who is in Forestville, California. Mike, what's up?
I'm in a pretty good-sized landscape project in the back. The landscape architects are in charge of it with our permission.
Okay.
And they have changed the idea of using mulch to using basalt. Ground basalt as a in place of native wood chips as a mulch, and it's an area where it's been heavily landscaped now with a lot of the Pennsylvania bluestone that ranges into the yellow tones and so on. And I've seen the basalt in a smaller form because that's the compacted material of the second layer that the stones are put in, much like the stones in your backyard,
right.
your stone pad. So I've seen that smaller size basalt. This will be larger. And I was looking forward to mulch, but this is the basalt is very pretty and is more tolerant to the blowing of leaves when fall comes, when it's just, you know, a plethora of leaves, which are quite a problem. And the basalt is very attractive, and with all the new plantings, it's just going to be a gorgeous backyard and nice big new pergola.
So they're using the basalt gravel instead of mulch around all the plants? Okay. Well, my front yard, I don't show my front yard off that much like I do my backyard, and for various reasons, but the front yard has a walkway system that's basalt gravel. And the basalt gravel that I've used is a little heavier than I wanted, but I couldn't find the one that I had used before. So this one, the pieces are about a half inch size, more or less.
I think that's what these will be. I haven't seen this size. I've only seen the smaller sizes they use to compact.
Well, the big size actually locks in place pretty well. It's not comfortable to walk on barefoot. It is the main thing I dislike about it.
Well, it's not meant to be walked on.
Right.
This will be areas where we'll only need to get in there to attend to the plants.
I don't have any problem with what you're doing. I've seen some of the prettiest, healthiest plants I've ever seen have been on projects where lava gravel was used as the mulch, and lava gravel and basalt have a lot of the same characteristics.
They sure do. I think basalt was lava at one time.
Yeah, basalt's just a denser material, and probably if anything, it has a higher paramagnetism value, and that's where you get the the help with the plant growth. Plus, basalt being as heavy and dense as it is, like you're saying, it stays in place, and you can rake and use a blower. I use battery-powered blowers to blow debris off.
Yes, I've converted our mow-and-blow guy over to a battery. Well, I didn't convert him. I bought one and told him that that's all he'll use.
That's good. No, they work well, and that basalt doesn't blow away very much at all unless you really get too close.
Well, that was the purpose of it, but I really, as much as I read about basalt, I couldn't find out anything
Well, it's beneficial. It's beneficial. The only negative about it is the fact that it doesn't break down and become humus and feed microorganisms like native mulch does. Now, that's a negative to a degree. What you have to do is you just have to be a little bit more consistent about using organic fertilizers, Garrett juice and dry products. Yeah, and
well, can we apply that on top of the basalt and let it leach down through the basalt?
You bet. Yeah, we do. That's exactly what we do.
No problem there. Now, what about another material you're going to use as food? Can't find large quantities of cornmeal, but I bought a bag to try out of cottonseed meal.
That's fine. The only negative about cottonseed is that the cotton is, you know, GMO. It's genetically modified.
I know, but I think most cornmeal is too.
Right. All of it is, and the organic program is the counter to it. So that's just for information. It's just people will bring up the negative aspects, but it's a good organic fertilizer. There's no question about it. It's very powerful.
Okay, well, that's good. That's what they said, but I still have not used it because I was a little tentative and was going to look further for
It's fine. Send us some pictures of it. I'd like to see what you've done there. Using it as a mulch all around, I'd like to see it and show it off.
Okay, great. Well, I'll pop some pics once it's down because the loads of that haven't been dumped in the back yet and spread there, so it's still just soil around that. We're just getting all the new vegetation started and so watering the heck out of it by hand, which is difficult to do during this drought.
Yeah, y'all are having some problems out there. Well, keep us posted, and I think this is a good way to go for you from every standpoint. From the watering standpoint, it'll hold moisture in the soil as well or better than regular mulch. So that's good.
That's great. Well, all right. I'm glad to hear that from you. Thank you, Howard.
Okay, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Let's go to Burleson and talk to Linda next. Hey, Linda.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call, Howard.
Sure.
Were you told the reason I called?
It says horrendous plant in her lake.
Yes. We have a lake that was constructed by the Corps of Engineers back in the 50s. There's several hundred acres of watershed that drain into our lake from the east end. There's a spillway at the west end that goes under a dam and over to the next lake. This area is floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
And the Corps of Engineers constructed all this to help the farmers who lived out here with the flooding.
Okay.
We've been here 24 years, and I've gone through numerous floods. Never have I had anything come into my lake like this. And I don't know what to do. I mean, it is around the entire perimeter. It goes about 5 to 10 feet out into the water. Now, we've had a little bit of evaporation from the lake, and part of it is kind of on dry land, not really, but, you know, drier. And it's dying some, but I've never had this, and I don't know how to get rid of it.
Broadleaf plant?
Yes.
Does it have a flower?
I think it does, and I think it's yellow, but it's not blooming right now. I went down a while ago and got a piece of it, so
okay.
I could describe it totally to you if you had questions.
Up primrose, aquatic plant, primrose, and see if that's it. But quite frankly, it doesn't matter whatever it is. I was just curious more than anything.
Right.
You can kill it with hydrogen peroxide, and hydrogen peroxide is a great tool in this case because you can spray it on that stuff really heavy. Strength 10% or greater. If you buy the 35% stuff, which you'll need to do in this case,
mm-hmm.
and you may have to have it mail ordered in. I don't know that any of the retail stores are keeping it in stock,
okay.
but getting it in and putting it out at least at a 10% spray, a little stronger than that would be good. And then as it dissipates into the water, it not only doesn't hurt the water, but it's good for the water. But it'll kill it. It'll fry it.
Oh, well, that's good to know because thankfully it's not toxic because my livestock eat it.
No, it's not toxic at all. In fact, you know, we were talking earlier about hydrogen peroxide being used in the koi ponds, and if anything, it's good for the fish. It helps them with some external parasites and things like that, and it'd be the same with the quality of the water in the pond. Now, if you did it over and over and over and over again, that wouldn't be a good thing at all because it'll eventually kill the good microbes and good things too. But to use it one time really strong and let it dissipate on out in the water, you're going to be amazed how well it'll work.
I mean, our lake is 7 acres big.
Okay.
It's not, you know, a little pond. And so I'm looking at, oh, how in the world? Thank you so much.
Just concentrated hydrogen peroxide.
All right.
Let me know.
All right.
Do some before and after pictures for us. That'd be great.
Okay.
Sure. All right. Thank you. I'm Aaron Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Bird is flying in the window, so we'll take a little quick break and then do our last segment and try to help you out with some questions. And if you have a comment or a tip, that's great, too. The website's dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter's free. Just fill out the form on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and we'll send it to you every week. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
While summer is the absolute best time for swimming, cookouts, and much-anticipated vacations, it's the worst time to endure the pain and embarrassment of unexpected gas and bloating. Bloating often isn't even triggered by how much food you eat, but rather what you eat. Some foods are difficult for your body to break down, and those undigested particles pass into the colon and produce uncomfortable gas bubbles that can make your stomach swell and bloat, and can even lead to weight gain. Enter your summertime savior, Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics. This probiotic powerhouse helps by efficiently breaking down food that is challenging to digest. As a result, the undigested food occupies less space, so gas and bloating are significantly minimized. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available in convenient blister packs, perfect for traveling. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this summer. Look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Meant to mention this earlier, but need to say before I forget it one more time. We've got a new feature for those of you that are members. It's about to go up. It should have already gone up, but we decided to redo it and fine-tune it a little bit. But one of the trips that Judy and Logan and I did some years ago to Ireland, we've got in a little bit better categories, arranged a little bit better, and it's going to be available for you, and some pretty neat shots I think you'll enjoy of Ireland. So those of you that are members, check it out. If you're not a member, click on that green button over on the left-hand side of the homepage, and you can find out how all that works. Patty in Corsicana is next up, calling, listening on 660. Hey, Patty.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I have a extreme problem. I live at Richmond Chambers Lake mm-hmm. near Corsicana, and everything in my yard, all the shrubs, flowers, everything is covered with this webbing, and even in the post oak trees, they have it too. I'm calling to see if you tell me what it is and what I should do about it to get rid of it. It's yesterday after I cut some of the bushes, just trimmed them down to get rid of it, and I realized that it was a spider. There was all sizes. It was like maybe adult spiders and new spiders, but they were yellow or not yellow. They were sort of a golden color, I would say.
And this is all up in the top of the trees?
It's on the, well, I'm not sure if it goes to the top or not. These are really top tall trees, but it's along where I can see. It doesn't cover it, the trees. It covers just areas of it in the post oaks. But the bushes, the shrub around my house, I mean, it's covering the whole thing.
Wow. Is there damage to the foliage? Or is it just covering the foliage?
It's just covering the foliage, and then, of course, it turns dark.
You know what? You may be telling me something interesting for another site as well as yours. One of my golf buddies is doing, a couple of my golf buddies that are doing a new golf course said they had webworms in some cedar elms, and I was kind of scratching my head about what in the world is going on. And it may be what you're experiencing. That's probably spiders.
It is spiders. There's no doubt about it. I had it 1 year on some Texas sage, and I never did anything about it. It sort of died back in the wintertime, but this time it's covering everything, and I'm not the only one. It's only at my house.
Well, this is one of those really unusual insect problems that I was warning people about coming from all the huge rain that we had in the spring. It's a cosmetic deal. They're not doing any damage at all. In fact, they're eating pest insects, probably some spider mites and various other things. If the cosmetic aspect of it is too much, you could spray with one of the fatty acid products or a soap like the Lemon Joy that we've talked about a couple of times today and kill it out. But it's probably not doing the plants any harm. It's just a cosmetic situation.
It's on my crepe myrtles, too, and where it is, of course, they're not blooming.
Okay. Well, the soapy water spray is the way to go. You could use one of the essential oil products like Eco Smart, or just use something like Lemon Joy soap and water. That's all you'd need to do.
Oh, my goodness. That would be easy enough, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Give that a try, and if not, get back with me. But I think that'll take care of it. And I'll look into it myself and try to get some pictures of it. If you're having it and one of my golf buddies with a new course is having it, it's probably showing up in other places as well.
Yeah, I've not talked to anybody. I still have a house in Plano, and nobody up there seems to be having the problem. But it seems to be just located here at the lake area.
Well, it's just strange stuff that we're having as a result of this huge rain that we had and changing in the soil. I've got an erosion problem that I didn't even know I had, where all the rain kind of created a little bit of a sinkhole in one area where we have this great big huge compost pile, and it's changing the grade on the soil surface. And it's all related to that huge rain. Same kind of deal. We just keep seeing new things coming about, and we probably will for a while.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe it might be from the rain, but nobody would tell me that. I checked with Calico's nursery and to find out if they knew what this was.
Well, try the soap and let me know. Let me help some other people before I have to get out of here and stay in touch with me on this, okay?
How much soap do I put in the water?
Oh, you could put about a tablespoon per gallon. It should be enough.
Okay, I'll try it.
A little bit more. An ounce is fine.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
Thanks. Let's see what Joe's up to in Dallas. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Howard. Thank you. I have a quick question on Epsom salts.
Sure.
How much for a yard, like give me 100 square feet, and how much for a tomato plant in a pot about 20-inch diameter?
Well, I tell you how I've used it. I mix it an ounce per gallon of water and dissolve it and then drench it into the soil around the plant, and a big plant, you know, may get a gallon of water.
Okay.
So, you know, you're putting out maybe an ounce of material, you know, around that one plant. If you put it out dry, you could put out as much as 10 pounds per 1,000 square feet, somewhere between 5 and 10,000. But the better way to go is a less amount, that ounce per gallon.
Okay.
And drench it out or spray it.
How often?
Well, if you've got plenty of magnesium and sulfur in the soil, you don't need to do it but one time.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it, sir.
Use it as you need, and you see results, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, talk to you later. Is it too late to put out beneficial nematodes for Betty in Arlington? No, it's not. If you have pest problems, go ahead and do it. I've enjoyed being with you. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds.